Give it to me. Harry, you mustn't, shrieked Hermione as Mundungus started to turn blue. There was a bang, and Harry felt his hands fly off Mundungus's throat. Gasping and spluttering, Mundungus seized his fallen case, then, crack, he disapparated. Harry swore at the top of his voice, spinning on the spot to see where Mundungus had gone. Come back, you thieving! There's no point, Harry. Tonks had appeared out of nowhere, her mousy hair wet with sleet. Mundungus will probably be in London by now. There's no point yelling. He's nicked Sirius's stuff. Nicked it. Yes, but still, said Tonks, who seemed perfectly untroubled by this piece of information, you should get out of the cold. She watched them go through the door of the Three Broomsticks. The moment he was inside, Harry burst out. He was nicking Sirius's stuff. I know, Harry, but please don't shout. People are staring, whispered Hermione. Go and sit down. I'll get you a drink. Harry was still fuming when Hermione returned to their table a few minutes later, holding three bottles of butterbeer. Can't the Order control Mundungus? Harry demanded of the other two in a furious whisper. Can't they at least stop him stealing everything that's not fixed down when he's at headquarters? Shh, said Hermione desperately, looking around to make sure nobody was listening. There were a couple of warlocks sitting close by who were staring at Harry with great interest, and Zabini was lolling against a pillar not far away. Harry, I'd be annoyed too. I know it's your things he's stealing. Harry gagged on his butterbeer. He had momentarily forgotten that he owned number 12 Grimald Place. Yeah, it's my stuff, he said. No wonder he wasn't pleased to see me. Well, I'm going to tell Dumbledore what's going on. He's the only one who scares Mundungus. Good idea, whispered Hermione, clearly pleased that Harry was calming down. Ron, what are you staring at? Nothing, said Ron, hastily looking away from the bar. But Harry knew he was trying to catch the eye of the curvy and attractive barmaid, Madame Rossmurta, for whom he had long nursed a soft spot. I expect nothings in the back getting more fire whiskey, said Hermione waspishly. Ron ignored this jibe, sipping his drink in what he evidently considered to be a dignified silence. Harry was thinking about Sirius and how he had hated those silver goblets anyway. Hermione drummed her fingers on the table, her eyes flickering between Ron and the bar. The moment Harry drained the last drops in his bottle, she said, Shall we call it a day and go back to school then? The other two nodded. It had not been a fun trip, and the weather was getting worse the longer they stayed. Once again, they drew their cloaks tightly around them, rearranged their scarves, pulled on their gloves, then followed Katie Bell and a friend out of the pub and back up the high street. Harry's thoughts strayed to Ginny as they trudged up the road to Hogwarts through the frozen slush. They had not met up with her, undoubtedly, thought Harry, because she and Dean were cosily closeted in Madame Puddyfoot's tea shop, that haunt of happy couples. Scowling, he bowed his head against the swirling sleet and trudged on. It was a little while before Harry became aware that the voices of Katie Bell and her friend, which were being carried back to him on the wind, had become shriller and louder. Harry squinted at their indistinct figures. The two girls were having an argument about something Katie was holding in her hand. It's nothing to do with you, Leanne, Harry heard Katie say. They rounded a corner in the lane, sleet coming thick and fast, blurring Harry's glasses. Just as he raised a gloved hand to wipe them, Leanne made to grab hold of the package Katie was holding. Katie tugged it back, and the package fell to the ground. At once, Katie rose into the air, not as Ron had done, suspended comically by the ankle, but gracefully, her arms outstretched as though she was about to fly. Yet there was something wrong, something eerie. Her hair was whipped around her by the fierce wind, but her eyes were closed and her face was quite empty of expression. Harry, Ron, Hermione, and Leanne had all halted in their tracks, watching. Then, 6 feet above the ground, Katie let out a terrible scream. Her eyes flew open, but whatever she could see or whatever she was feeling was clearly causing her terrible anguish. She screamed and screamed. Leanne started to scream too and seized Katie's ankles, trying to tug her back to the ground. Harry, Ron and Hermione rushed forward to help, but even as they grabbed Katie's legs, she fell on top of them. Harry and Ron managed to catch her, but she was writhing so much they could hardly hold her. Instead, they lowered her to the ground where she thrashed and screamed, apparently unable to recognize any of them. Harry looked around. The landscape seemed deserted. "Stay there," he shouted at the others over the howling wind. "I'm going for help." He began to sprint toward the school. He had never seen anyone behave as Katie had just behaved and could not think what had caused it. He hurtled around a bend in the lane and collided with what seemed to be an enormous bear on its hind legs. "Hagrid," he panted, disentangling himself from the hedgerow into which he had fallen.
"Harry,"
said Hagrid, who had sleet trapped in his eyebrows and beard and was wearing his great shaggy beaver skin coat.
"Just been visiting Grawp. He's coming on so well you wouldn't."
"Hagrid, someone's hurt back there, or cursed, or something."
"What?"
said Hagrid, bending lower to hear what Harry was saying over the raging wind.
"Someone's been cursed," bellowed Harry.
"Cursed? Who's been cursed? Not Ron? Hermione?"
"No, it's not them. It's Katie Bell. This way."
Together they ran back along the lane. It took them no time to find the little group of people around Katie, who was still writhing and screaming on the ground. Ron, Hermione, and Leanne were all trying to quiet her.
"Get back," shouted Hagrid. "Let me see her."
"Something's happened to her," sobbed Leanne. "I don't know what."
Hagrid stared at Katie for a second, then without a word bent down, scooped her into his arms, and ran off toward the castle with her. Within seconds, Katie's piercing screams had died away, and the only sound was the roar of the wind.